This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Beautifully Unconventional by Wolf Alice. You are listening to the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And we've been asking for your thoughts on the ratification of the ICERD after some statements made by, well...
Syed Saddiq, Armada yes. Youth Chief, who said that the party won't support the ratification of ICERD if it weakens or erodes the rights under Article 153 of the Federal Constitution.
So Amirul Malik says a research by UM and UKM found that Malay graduates are being discriminated by companies when called back for when it comes to callbacks for interviews, especially by Chinese-controlled companies. ICERD might help with the situation. Thank you for that message and also for a potential future show idea.
Yeah, and for doing the research for us, because yes. I think that's also very important, because you're right, ICERD hopefully will help with that too.
Adnan Arifin says, parties to the ICERD condemn racial discrimination and commit to the elimination of racial discrimination in all its forms to guarantee the right of everyone without distinction as to race, colour, national or ethnic origin to equality before the law. And I think that's why it sounds like a good idea, at least to me. It's unclear from that whether Adnan agrees. Let us know. Boleba says, why is the government asking us? Sign it. That's why we voted, unless votes don't matter. John says, aren't all constitutions in all modern nations made by men, which means that they can be changed in a democracy? And then we've got Asa Hafiz, who says, why bother to sign? Even countries that signed ICERD still practice some sort of discrimination towards minority races and religions.
You know, to me, I think the aspiration is what matters. The symbolism of signing onto something like this means we hope to be a better nation one day. ICERD is not the only example where countries that sign onto it don't follow it. You know, just look at Myanmar and just look at countries like Mexico, who, at least in Mexico's example, where they have signed on the conventions related to refugee rights, they still arrest refugees, they still deport them, they still build walls around the country. So I think what's more important is definitely to show that, you know, we're keeping it in mind. We're thinking about it. We're not necessarily going to follow it immediately, but it's there.
Also, you're signifying that it's important to you as a nation. Anyway, let us know. Keep your thoughts coming. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Let us know your thoughts on the ICERD. Meanwhile, something a little strange and a little unexpected happened over the weekend. Utusan Malaysia, the UMNO-owned paper, wrote an article calling for former Prime Minister Najib Razak to apologise for misappropriating 1MDB funds. The article was written by the paper's Awang Selamat, which is a pseudonym shared by its editors.
They wrote that Najib's lies were exposed during his infamous interview with Al Jazeera, and that this lie caused people to lose confidence in Barisan Nasional. The paper concluded that article saying that not all thieves are liars, but all liars would always steal.
Strong statements, and especially strong statements by an UMNO-owned paper. So political analysts are reading this in two ways. Either the party has dumped Najib Razak, or perhaps the party is ready to do so. What can be agreed on, though, is that UMNO's infighting is worsening. This comes after the spat between Khairi Jamaluddin and Lokman Adam, in which Khairi said the latter had the IQ of a carrot. The article also triggered a square-off between the paper and Puat Zarkashi and UMNO leader.
I think then now the question is, how do you deal with the problem and the person like Najib Razak?
And I suppose we're at that problem partly because he hasn't really gone away at all. He has continued to tweet. He's continued to use social media. He's continued to make statements, giving interviews, hoping to talk about the economy and his legacy. He's been quite busy.
And I guess it's also because the party itself hasn't quite fully decided where they want to be with this relationship in terms of Najib Razak, right? Do they want to distance themselves from Najib? Do they want to completely burn bridges with him, right?
Because he's been pretty strident in terms of pretty direct critiques of the government, the current ruling government, and their policies. He's been very kind of snappy with those retorts.
And he acts as if he's the opposition leader, right?
Which he was for... he wasn't. He's never been opposition leader.
So it's quite strange because now you expect the leader of the party, Zahid Hamidi, to be the one doing all these statements. But you know, in relation, he seems to be the weaker one here. You know, it's also quite weird because in parliament as well, Zahid and Najib still sit next to each other.
It's all very strange. Let's cross over now to Amir Farid, a political analyst and director of strategy at KRA Group. Amir, thank you for joining us. So post GE14, when we first saw Najib posting on Facebook about economic policies or GST and the like, it was a little jarring, but it's almost now become par for the course to see him respond to financial policies and initiatives from the government. Does this make Najib an effective member of the opposition?
Okay. As a member of parliamentary member of the opposition, he is by far, I think, the most effective because he maintains a high visibility on a daily basis with his daily rebuttals on social media outlets across the platforms. Of course, as a former prime minister and a former minister of finance, he is privy to information which makes his rebuttal worth noting. But then again, there is a huge credibility gap when it comes to Dr. Sri Najib. Having said that, one cannot ignore that some of the points raised on key economic debates like GST versus SST, among other things, are indeed worth noting.
Do people view Najib as the leader of the opposition? What sort of influence and credibility does he have with his supporters today?
Okay, I think as with any former top leader of this country, when they step down, there is residual traces of respect and loyalty, especially among those who follow and felt indebted to him personally. From my observation, he still does command some support among personal loyalists, given how much, and this is because Malaysian politics is driven by personalities. Yeah? So, of course, he also inculcated a cult, a following when he was in power, and therefore there is this residual trace of respect and loyalty. But even that, I do note that this base is shrinking. It is just too soon for him to come out publicly defending all these kind of things. And emotions are still very, very raw.
So where do you think he stands with UMNO at the moment? I mean, is it that residual sense of respect, I suppose, that is keeping him there?
Well, the problem with him and UMNO is that the more that Dato' Sri Najib speak out, it sucks away the oxygen from UMNO. Already UMNO is an opposition party. In terms of coverage and space given to an opposition party, it is limited. It is limited not because of the lack of press freedom or anything, but it is more of practicality. When you're in opposition, you don't get to formulate policies. You only shape public debate. Therefore, with Najib maintaining a very high profile with his views and opinions, there is no space for UMNO to solidify its voice as an opposition party. And secondly, of course, the credibility gap that Najib has, it is bringing a net negative effect to UMNO.
Utusan Malaysia has demanded that Najib give a public apology for misappropriation of funds. Can this be construed as an attempt by UMNO to solidify their voice and position?
It is a very interesting development, given Utusan is the mouthpiece of the party. But of course, the current leadership of Utusan is aligned to the current top leadership of UMNO, especially with Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi. And therefore, this is seen as a veiled attack by Dato' Sri Zahid's side and proxies to put pressure on Dato' Sri Najib to distance himself from UMNO and the party.
Now, having said that, I mean, some analysts have said this isn't a clear enough indicator that UMNO has abandoned Najib. For example, as Cowan mentioned earlier, Najib is still seated next to Zahid Hamidi in Parliament. I mean, what's your take on that? Do you agree? Are there other indicators that would signify a breakup between UMNO and Najib?
On one hand, you've got to maintain the optics of unity. Therefore, in terms of sitting next to each other, that is all because of seniority and the need to maintain optics. But of course, you'll have to look at indicators like whether the top leadership is with Dato' Sri Najib or not in his events, stuff like that. And of course, we've also seen the party's mouthpiece starting to criticize Najib. We have to look at whether other party leaders in UMNO, the rank and file, whether they are openly asking him to keep quiet, and are they putting on pressure privately. And as this court hearing proceeds, the other indicator is, of course, the turnout, because the turnout gives a good indicator whether or not he still has their support. And we're talking about real turnout rather than people who are forced to go.
Would a really direct approach of sacking Najib from UMNO be an option?
Well, I think it is an option, one of the options that UMNO should seriously consider. But having said that, if you were to set this in motion, it will set bad precedents for also the scandal-ridden current leader, Dato' Sri Zahid. If UMNO distances itself from Najib, then it can start rebranding itself. It's got to cut the cancer, because Najib brings down everything it touches because of this credibility gap that I said. So UMNO, as a Malay nationalist party, it does have a base, which is the Malay nationalism supporter base. And as much as we in the urban bubble may want to deny this fact, but it is there. And until and unless a party claims it properly, then there is a vacuum. And therefore, UMNO needs to start thinking, cut itself from the past and start thinking of the future if it wants to succeed in this current political landscape or in the future political cycle.
So, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, Zahid Hamidi's own corruption charges exacerbate the leadership vacuum within UMNO. Even if the party does distance itself from Najib Razak, do you anticipate stagnation within UMNO until these sorts of issues are resolved?
Yes, you are right in the sense that Dato' Sri Zahid is facing similar predicament to Najib, and therefore his focus and attention, whether you like it or not, is divided. And you're already beginning to hear from the rank and file the need for, they demand the top leadership to start articulating a clearer direction from the party. Because as we see it now, there is no clear direction at all in UMNO except for rebutting and maintaining innocence of its past and current leaders. And if they are serious about rebuilding themselves, then they need to move past this immediately.
Amir, thank you so much for weighing in. That was Amir Farid, a political analyst and director of strategy at KRA Group.
So we have a question for you. Do you care about what Najib has to say? Is what he says still important to you? Is he still relevant in your life?
Yes, I think... I feel like that's going to get a very emotional response. I feel emotional thinking about it for some reason. We will be taking a short break. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Van Morrison, Into the Mystic. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Calvin. We have been asking you, do you still care about what Najib Razak has to say?
And is he still relevant in your lives?
Yes, a wonderfully succinct question there. We've had a number of messages come in. Let's see what Zairine has to say. He's online. What are your thoughts?
Well, hello. Honestly, I believe that I agree with what Amir said just now. Well, at the moment, the party members need to think about what they want the party to be in the next general election and the next 10 years. So we have to, as a party member, think deeply and get our thoughts. So honestly, I feel that the party has to distance itself from Najib. And then we should move forward. And I think that, yes, we are sort of confused at the moment who is actually the opposition leader. And I would say that the media is picking up coverage of Najib rather than the UMNO presidents. So this is something that the Supreme Council members has to think deep. And then, of course, there'll be a sense of loyalty, there's a sense of respect. But at the end of the day, you have to think about the future of the party, and also you have to think about what the 3 million members of UMNO is actually thinking right now.
So in the meantime then, as Najib Razak continues to release statements, I mean, how do you think, how are people dealing with that, I suppose? Because, of course, it's fine to say that the party should kind of divorce itself from Najib Razak. It isn't going to stop him from, I think, making statements.
Yep, it's true. It's just that the UMNO has the set up the proper channels, like the information chiefs and many, many bureaus. So basically, it's up back to the Supreme Council to step up their game and start, you know, giving statements and all that, so that, you know, people aware that the Supreme Council member is actually aware of what's going on and aware of the current situations, you know. And then, well, if the UMNO Supreme Council members start talking and giving their thoughts, I would say that, you know, the media will stop picking up on what Najib is saying every day.
Thank you so much for calling, Zarian. We've also had messages that have come in about this. Kamran Nizam saying, despise him or not, he is the former PM. He has insight. We should not repeat just trusting politicians anymore, whether they're Pakatan Harapan or BN. What he said now is emotion. There might be some truth in it. And then another listener, Des, said, as much as Najib suffers from a credibility deficit, it's a clear and real deficit, it is always prudent to hear from two sides of the coin rather than sticking to one narrative. Hear with an open mind, make a judgment call. Shakwan, meanwhile, says, Najib is important to me for comic relief, absurdity, excess and irony, in response to Kelvin's question. What is the relevance there? And Karen says, whatever Najib says is irrelevant to me, except for I'm guilty. We've got Victor on the line. Victor, we've got just a little bit of time. What are your thoughts?
Good evening, Lynn and Kelvin.
Hi.
Actually, personally, I don't care about what Najib says. To me, he's just the emperor that who was discovered to have no clothes. And yet, he's trying to convince us that his clothes used to be very beautiful. So actually, I never thought this day would come that I would agree with this Awang Selamat of the Utusan Malaysia, that Najib is actually a liability of UMNO. So, well, he can run whatever he wants, but I wouldn't listen to him.
All right, Victor, thank you so much for calling. We have to head to the news now. We are out of time. But coming up after this, we've got At the Movies. So stay tuned. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.